It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello, welcome one and all. It's 1900 UTC on a beautiful June 15th, which means that it is Tuesday. Oh, man. And, sorry about that. I thought I was going to get to say my allergies aren't bothering me, but I guess in this room they are. So, such is life. Our good friends at the Texas Energy Commission letting us know, hey, don't run your air conditioner so much. Anyway. Such is life. Sorry, I'm a little bit out of it. Anyway, such is life. I'm just kind of a bit everywhere. But that's okay. You know how it goes.
Come on, stop trying to hit me and hit me!
What could it be? Yeah.
World news.
It's time for the world news. And, oh, I knew I was spacey. I was going to tell you how to log into Calm and all that, but, anyway, we're going to skip that. It's time for the world news.
World news.
All right, first up, South Africa. Unidentified stones spark diamond rush. Thousands of treasure seekers have flocked to Kwaholathi village in South Africa, believing the area could contain diamonds. It comes after a man dug up a crystal-like stone in an open field and put out word of the discovery. The stones haven't been analyzed by geological experts yet, and authorities have asked people on site to leave so that a proper investigation can be carried out. The provincial government also shared a video of the area on Twitter, expressing concern over what is called a diamond rush. They tweeted that they had noticed with concern the reports of illegal mining activity taking place at Kwaholathi outside Ladysmith. So, if you would like to get in on the diamond rush, go ahead and open an illegal mine and down there outside of Ladysmith. So, just a little bit of something for you. You may remember a while back we talked about black fungus and causing trouble in India and how people with COVID-19 and their suppressed immune systems were more susceptible to this. Well, black fungus has been detected in 3 COVID-19 patients in Oman. Doctors in Oman have detected a potentially fatal fungal infection called mucormycosis, commonly known as black fungus, in the country. The country's health ministry said on Tuesday that 3 COVID-19 patients had become infected with the condition, which has spread among some coronavirus patients in hard-hit India. Although relatively rare, the infection has raised alarm among authorities that its sudden increase could complicate efforts to combat COVID-19. It was not immediately clear what condition the 3 patients, the first such known cases in the Arabian Peninsula, were in. The announcement came as the Sultanate forces a surge in, the Sultanate faces, not forces, faces a surge in COVID-19 infections that has swamped its hospitals. It causes blackening or discoloration over the nose, blurred or double vision, chest pain, breathing difficulties, and coughing of blood. Pain and redness around the eyes or nose, fever, headache, coughing, shortness of breath, bloody vomit, and altered mental state are some of its other symptoms. The fungal infection preys on patients with weakened immune systems and underlying conditions, particularly diabetes, as well as overuse of certain over-the-counter coronavirus medications such as steroids. Uncontrolled blood sugar can put immunocompromised people at a higher risk of contracting the disease. So, I've seen and heard a common thing people like to say that living people eat dead mushrooms and living mushrooms eat dead people. But sometimes living mushrooms eat living people. And I think that's just a little unnerving, a little scary. That's what's going on there. And one more story that's not about death, because we got to keep it lighthearted at the beginning. Jack Ma, Alibaba executive says Jack Ma lying low, focusing on hobbies. Alibaba group founder Jack Ma is lying low and focusing on hobbies and philanthropy, the Chinese e-commerce giant's executive vice chairman and co-founder Joe Tsai told CNBC on Tuesday. Following Ma's criticism of China's regulatory system last year, Beijing came down heavily on the company, leading to the shelving of financial affiliate Ant Group's $37 billion initial public offering and an enforced restructuring of Ant. Ma, China's best-known entrepreneur, has been largely out of public view since. He's lying low right now. I talk to him every day, Tsai said on CNBC's Squawk Box show. Ma, who is known for his outspokenness and for pushing boundaries with audacious statements, stepped down from Alibaba in 2019, but continues to loom large in the eyes of investors. Asked about human rights issues in China, Tsai said a large number of people in the country were happy that their lives were improving. So yeah, nature, you scary. Yeah, he stepped down. I think Jack Ma kind of took the plea deal, you know? It's like, how about you just focus on your hobbies, like not overthrowing the government, and we'll let you live.
get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Well, you guys and girls and everyone, we've got a bunch of different stories to go, but what we want to do is let me just give you a death rundown, and then we'll play a song. Or a run-up, I guess we could say. So first up, only 10 people, or we'll start with 10. 10's the starting number. Burkina Faso, at least 10 jihadists killed in military crackdown. A, quote, dozen terrorists were neutralized during sweep operations between June 7th and 13th after the massacre of at least 132 people in the village of Solhan, Burkina's armed forces announced Monday evening in a statement. From June 7th to 13th, security and combing operations continued in the vicinity of Solhan. The units deployed carried out offensive reconnaissance and cordon and search operations, which resulted in the neutralization of a dozen terrorists. The operations have also allowed the destruction of logistical plots. Rolling stock, vehicles and motorcycles, fuel and various other materials were seized. The night of June... we took that... make sure... Yeah, so that's the story. So we start... 10 jihadists killed last night, total of a dozen. And now, at least 12 persons are dead from attacks in northern and central Nigeria. At least 12 people were killed Sunday in two separate attacks in the Plateau State in central Nigeria. The first attack occurred Sunday in Kuru locality, where gunmen in a car opened fire on a bar, killing 10 people. According to local police spokesman Uba Ogaba, 10 people were shot dead in a drinking establishment by as yet unidentified gunmen who arrived in a Toyota Hilux before firing several shots and storming off. According to the police, two people were killed by gunmen on Sunday in a town of Zagun, about 50 kilometers from Kuru. According to a statement by Plateau State Governor Simon Lalong, 12 people died and 5 others were seriously injured. The motives for the two attacks, which are under investigation, were unknown at the time. However, the region is the scene of community tensions. So, there's no neutralization here. This is just a bar fight, looks like. And we got to keep counting up. At least 14 are dead in Central African Republic. At least 14 people have been killed in clashes between herders and farmers in northeastern Central African Republic near the border with Chad, which has been plagued by deadly conflicts between these communities. It all started from a misunderstanding between a farmer and a herder who brought his cattle to a field in Tiri. Ibrahim Sanusi, mayor of this commune, located more than 700 kilometers from Bangui, told AFP, "The herds devastated the field and the crops, and the herder was killed after a violent dispute. In retaliation, the herders who came from Chad killed 14 people, including women and children. They burned more than 66 houses and granaries. Nearly 3,000 people fled their villages," said Francois Dieudonné Batawapiyepi, prefect of the Bamingui Bangoran region. And this is a name that has a lot of accent marks. I'm going to throw this on here. Okay. One more story about death real quick. At least 15 were killed in a suicide bombing at a Somali army camp. At least 15 people were killed Tuesday morning in a suicide attack on an army training center in the Somali capital of Mogadishu, as an officer at the scene told AFP. A suicide bomber disguised as a soldier blew himself up in front of recruits who were lining up in front of the General Dagobadan military camp in the east of the city. Muhammad Adan said, claiming to have counted about 15 new recruits who were killed in the blast. The death toll may be higher. This provisional death toll is one of the heaviest recorded for a year and a half in the Somali capital, regularly shaken by attacks by Islamist Shabab affiliated to Al-Qaeda, who have warned the loss of the federal government supported by international community. These attacks, carried out by suicide bombers or car bombs, often target security checkpoints and army and police bases. On August 17, 2020, a major attack claimed by Shabab on a Mogadishu hotel, frequented by government officials, killed 11 people. So, man, pretty rough, right? World's crazy like that sometimes, but, I mean... Everybody wants to rule the world. It gets a little violent.
Member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the HDF Public Access Unix System.
That is 100% correct. Anon Radio is powered by SDF. And if you're listening, hey, you're lucky, because Anon Radio is a great little service available to those powered by SDF. And if you are not a member of SDF, you can SSH over at new, like N-E-W, November Echo Whiskey, at SDF.org and join up. Tomorrow is SDF's 34th birthday. I have it in my calendar, and you should add it to yours because it's a pretty cool deal. SDF's been around longer than a lot of your friends, probably, or at least longer than most of my friends' marriages, for sure. All right. What else? Oh, well, stick around. At 1930 UTC every day, it's going to be the Dubious Goals Committee. It's time for the committee meeting with Tobe, the chairman. I guess Tobe and Pippa, the chairman or former chairman of the committee. I can't remember. You're going to need to tune in to find out who Pippa is and whether or not they are in charge anymore. Also, Matis and all sorts of other stuff. So, check it out.
Resistance is futile.
You will fall in love with the Nyan Pasu. It's a logo-free design. It's beautiful.
That's correct.
All right. Enough of this silliness. Let's go ahead and get on going. Want to thank everybody who is hanging out in Calm. Calm is how we talk during the show and live broadcast on Anon Radio are almost always manned or operated. People are always present. I'm not sure how best way to put it. Lots of people are present in Calm. You just SSH over and then Calm and then press G for go to and then Anon Radio, all lowercase, and boom, you're in the Anon Radio room and you can chat away. You can play Netris. You play Dope Wars. You could do all sorts of stuff. You can get the time and you can press the equal key to get the schedule and find out who's operating now, who's on the air, who's coming up, all that stuff. So right now, news to me, next Dubious Goals Committee, and then Praise Then Darkness from Northern Lights. Tonight at 00 UTC, so it'll be midnight UTC, so it's technically Wednesday, Bronzy Beat. He's a great DJ, so check it out, or go to anonradio.net. All right. I got
world news.
I'm a space cadet today. All right, let's get going. Australia's Fortescue in discussions on the huge hydro project in the Congo. Australian mining giant Fortescue confirmed Tuesday that it was in negotiations to develop what would be the world's largest hydroelectric project in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The business giant Andrew Forrest Group said it was in the running to build the Grand Inga Hydroelectric Mega Dam on the Congo River. Under current arrangements, Forest Fortescue Future Industries, which is abbreviated FFI, even though there's three, it's Forest Fortescue Future Industries, abbreviated FFI, so I guess they just lopped off one of the Fs, has been granted exclusive rights to develop the massive development of the $80 billion Grand Inga U.S. dollar .pdf. Okay, this looks like an editing issue. Interested parties wishing to invest or participate in the project are invited to contact FFI. The project, which could be larger than the Three Gorges Dam in China and is supposed to supply energy to South Africa, has been delayed since 1972. However, it's long been plagued by a series of problems. Various potential builders have come forward over the past decade, but no projects materialized. The DRC is unable to process its mineral wealth locally or to provide light to the vast majority of its 80 million inhabitants because of the lack of hydroelectric power plants. So yeah, mega dam, bigger than the Three Gorges, which really changed the landscape in that area of China. So, holy moly. Talking about telephones now. Ethiopia launches a process to sell 40% stake in Ethio Telecom. As part of Ethiopian authorities' plan to open up the country's economy, the government began a bidding process on Monday for the proposed sell-off of a 40% stake in state-owned carrier Ethio Telecom to private investors. Investors have 30 days to express their interest before a second phase of the process is launched, during which bids will be expected. The partial privatization of Ethio Telecom aims to make the company, which has some 44 million subscribers out of a population of 110 million, more efficient. This year, Ethiopia carried out a first reform in telecommunications by launching a tender for two licenses, paving the way for the end of Ethio Telecom's monopoly, one of the last in the world in this sector. At the end of May, one of the licenses was awarded to a consortium led by Kenya's Safaricom, which offered $850 million and plans to invest $8.5 million over 10 years. So, I think that's pretty... I think that'll be interesting to see what happens. I think telecommunications in Africa is very interesting because a lot of places never had copper lines run, and so it's all wireless. So, I just think that's it's a very interesting and different infrastructure than what we have in the U.S. Speaking of the U.S., the U.S.-led war games underway. U.S.-led war games are underway in Morocco, near disputed West Sahara. The U.S. military is conducting war simulations near the contested Western Saharan area and jointly organized exercises with Morocco. More than 7,000 personnel from 9 countries and NATO are taking part in the exercises, codenamed African Lion, which kicked off on June 8th. The maneuvers, due to conclude on Friday, have seen rockets fired near Western Sahara, Navy boats patrol off the coast of Spain's Canary Islands, and Air Forces conduct training exercise. Africa Lion is U.S. Africa Command's largest exercise, AFRICOM said on its website, adding the training is focused on enhancing readiness for U.S. and partner nation forces. So, the U.S.'s take on the exercises. Exercise locations are spread mainly across Morocco, from Kinitira Air Base in the north to Tantan and Guerrier Laboui training complex in the south. The maneuvers were staged some 50 kilometers from the Algerian desert town of Tindouf, where the separatist Polisario Front has a base. So, message from the United States to its ally, you know, to its enemies, or just a happy coincidence. Depends on who you ask. And the U.S. Navy aircraft carrier USS Reagan enters the South China Sea. U.S. aggression? Don't worry. We've got plenty of aggression to take out on the world. A U.S. aircraft carrier group led by the USS Ronald Reagan has entered the South China Sea as part of a routine mission, the U.S. Navy said, at a time of rising tensions between Washington and Beijing, which claims most of the disputed waterway. The carrier is being accompanied by the guided missile cruiser USS Shiloh and the guided missile destroyer USS Halsey, the U.S. Navy said on Tuesday. China frequently objects to U.S. military missions in the South China Sea, saying they do not help promote peace or stability. And the latest mission comes after China condemned the G7 nations for a statement criticizing Beijing over a range of issues. While in the South China Sea, the strike group is conducting maritime security operations, which include flight operations with fixed and rotary wing aircraft, maritime strike exercises, and coordinated tactical training between surface and air units. So, yeah. Big surprise here. I don't know. It feels much like I'm not touching you game that kids play. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm just outside your house, just blowing stuff up. I'm not touching you. Anyway, the Philippines and the U.S. held scaled-down joint drills in April after last year's war games were canceled due to COVID-19. A Foreign Affairs spokeswoman said the department was waiting for details from Duarte's office on specific areas of concern. So much fun. Oh, hey, welcome. Oh, man. I hit my mouse wheel too much. My comm is a mess. Don't worry, it will all get cleared away soon. Much like the ground and anybody in the area. Illinois chemical plant fire is going to be left to just burn out and then spill into the river. Yeah, you heard that right. There's a fire and they're just going to let the chemical plant just burn it down and then pollute the river. A huge fire at a chemical plant in the U.S. is being left to burn out on its own to avoid polluting a nearby river. Firefighters in Illinois are managing the blaze, but limiting their use of water to stop runoff. Oh! Thank goodness this headline's just written poorly. Officials said the plant was full of chemicals, including lead, nitrogen, and the components of antifreeze. It could take several days for the products to burn out. Well, I wish they had more details. This is not a very detailed story. There is a photo of this building that looks like it's melting and it's on fire. So, that's kind of cool. Let's hit B for boss mode. And then hit enter. Alright. Yeah, apparently lead, nitrogen, and the components of antifreeze, whatever that means. So yeah. Danger zone. We got about 5 minutes to go, so don't worry. We're going to just roll through a few more stories that I thought were kind of cool. Global warming may have already passed an irreversible tipping point. Don't worry, if you're listening to this now, you will be dead before global warming hits a point where we are all going to die. Oh, for the fire story? The fire story comes to us from the BBC in the US and Canada section. Global warming may have already passed irreversible tipping point. Global warming may have passed. The scientist who led the biggest ever expedition to the Arctic has warned. Presenting the findings of the world's largest mission in the North Pole, an expedition involving 300 scientists from 20 countries, Marcus Rex, hey, my name's Marcus. Marcus Rex said on Tuesday that the researchers had found that Arctic ice is retreating faster than ever before. The disappearance of summer sea ice in the Arctic is one of the first landmines in this minefield, one of the tipping points that we set off first when we push warming too far, he said during a presentation in Germany's capital, Berlin. And one can essentially ask if we haven't already stepped on this mine and already set off the beginning of the explosion. The $165 million expedition returned to Germany in October after 389 days drifting through the Arctic, bringing home devastating proof of a dying Arctic Ocean and warnings of ice-free summers in just decades. It also brought back 150 terabytes of data and more than 1,000 ice samples. Data collected during the expedition included readings on the atmosphere, ocean, sea ice, and the ecosystems. So, yeah. Enjoy ice while you can. But yeah, we're gonna all die. Someday. Maybe not because of this. Hundreds of New Yorkers have been told their COVID shots were defected. Oh man, that kind of sucks. That's right. Nearly 900 New York City residents have been informed they were jabbed with a defective COVID-19 vaccine and therefore would need an additional dose. The expired vaccinations were given out between June 5th and 10th at a vaccination clinic at the NFL Experience in Manhattan's Times Square. The location is able to perform 1,500 jabs when at capacity for over 12 hours a day between 7:30 a.m. and p.m. However, the company behind the site, ATC, it's Alpha Tango Charlie Vaccination Services, told 8,999 people that they were required to have another shot before they would be considered fully vaccinated, as the shots they got were believed to be ineffective due to improper storing. According to the CDC, a particular vaccine they used can only be kept in the freezer for 2 weeks. And here's the quote, "We're contacting you concerning the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine you received at Times Square NFL Experience vaccination site on June 5th to June 10th. It was recognized after the vaccine was administered that it had been in the freezer beyond the approved time frame prior to being administered." So, oh boy, look at that. Hey, and thanks so much, everybody, for listening. We're about to run out of time. You know, it's just how that goes. One last story. NASA shows off a massive SLS mega rocket. Not a mega dam, but a mega rocket to take humans to the Moon, Mars, and Jupiter as it is fully assembled. NASA has finally assembled the first Space Launch System, or SLS, a massive rocket that will carry humans to the Moon once again. Engineers at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida finished the 65-meter-tall core rocket stage, the same height as London's Tower Bridge, in between the smaller booster rockets on Friday. It's the first time that all three components have been unified. The boosters attach the engine and inner tank connections of the core stage, which is essentially the backbone of the rocket. The core stage has to support the weight of the payload, upper stage, and crew vehicle, as well as four engines and 2 5-segment rocket boosters. So, wow, this is really cool. It'll be neat to see it when it finally goes into space. But like I said, we're kind of out of time. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Big shout outs to Kong, X1, and Tobe, and S. SMJ and Ratsu and Tobe and M. Stoney and Nonfunctional and ML Smith. Oh yeah. Let's dial up Tobe.